Hello, welcome to Fireside Chats. My name is Magla Pillay, and today it is my pleasure to introduce to you Sister Denise, who has been practicing Raj Yoga meditation for over 40 years. Today's topic is entitled Structured Intelligence. In this series, we ask many questions regarding spirituality. We ask you questions such as, what is your current level of spiritual awareness? How does God feature in your life at all? And how you, as an individual, maintain balance between your internal and external world. Sister Denise, a very warm welcome to today's show.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for joining us. Tell me, structured intelligence, what on earth does that mean?
The human soul is an intelligent being, but the intelligence is messed up and chaotic. Because of the way we have been using our intelligence. So it's not working properly. You could even say it's dysfunctional. We don't know properly how to think. So what happens when you engage in a course of spiritual study is you're actually applying particular concepts to your intelligence, and we use the expression churning. The mind of God is very structured, very beautiful, very extraordinary, and it is a kind of a template, if you will, of what a human mind could be if it were completely pure and containing only truth. You know, they say God is truth, but it's hard to know what people really mean by that. Now, when God communicates to humanity, God is not a human being. God is the discarnate supreme being, the father of all souls, the creator, the ocean of wisdom, and is also called the intelligence of the wise. So the desire, a very worthwhile desire to have of some people, is to have a perfect mind, a perfect intellect, a beautiful mind. And the way that you can get that is by taking into your intellect, taking into your mind the words of God, the thoughts of God, and then moving them around in your mind. And it kind of reorganizes the architecture of your mind so that you are then able to think in a very holistic way, to hold different concepts and ideas, to hold paradoxes together. And it also makes you more articulate, more clear. Your mind has space. There isn't clutter. There's clarity, there's symmetry, order, and then when you apply such a well-trained mind to any problem or any situation, you're coming at it from a very, very good space. And so it's a very desirable thing to work on, to create.
Sister Denise, there are various types of intelligence in the world today. And up until today, intelligence is highly respected and regarded. Somebody who's intelligent automatically draws the attention and sometimes respect of others, well, depending on the context. How is structured intelligence different from academic intelligence, practical intelligence, being streetwise? The stuff that you're talking about is something different, isn't it?
Yes, it is different.
How is it different, and how does one Okay, let's ask you that one first. How is it different?
It's different insofar as it involves circular thinking. The body of knowledge that we work with in Raj Yoga is a body where everything has coherence within its own self, and it looks at time as an identically repeating circle. It looks at the dimension of space and time together. It looks at everything in terms of cause and effect. It sees things in this sort of spherical. And then you see, when you take a point of information, you develop it within the context of this circular nature of reality. And when you go into the depth of it, you find that it takes you back to your point of departure. Now, in academic knowledge, you start somewhere and you go further and further away from your point of departure, and you find that it causes people to specialize in smaller and smaller areas, which become wider and wider, and it doesn't take you back to the point of departure. So it doesn't offer a holistic perspective. This, I think, is the main difference.
Mm, okay. Now, Sister Denise, can structured intelligence exist side by side with somebody who has, who's academically intelligent? Does the two not clash with each other?
I think they probably would clash with each other.
So what does one do when one finds oneself in such an odd conundrum?
Well, you can do a number of things. You could compartmentalize yourself and have a academic part that operates that way, and you can have a spiritual part that operates this way, and there you have to work them separately where they need to be worked separately, and see if you can bring them together, if you have to bring them together. And that's a bit of a handful to do, but it can be done.
Mm-hmm.
Because you see, you apply your technical intelligence in a technical way, but you might not apply that to life, you see, whereas your spiritual perspective is applied to life.
Mm. From watching you and listening to what you say, I get the impression that the intelligence that you're referring to is the intelligence of understanding the invisible.
Yes.
How do you negotiate your way using your intellect through that which cannot be seen? We live in a world, Sister Denise, where we are so conditioned to, this is a chair because I can see it's a chair. And seeing is believing has become so deep within people. So how do you negotiate your way?
I think you might want to look at the structure of music, the philosophy of aesthetics, and also mathematics is able to describe things that are invisible, that are beyond. And so that there are a lot of points where there is convergence. I don't think that the physical world is only the visible world, because science is taking us into further and further refinements of concepts that are to do with the material world, but that are beyond the comprehension of the uneducated in those areas. So, of course, you're looking at a much smaller demographic group, but it's still very possible.
Mm. Sister Denise, structured intelligence, is it the purview of only a few? Or is it available to all?
You know, what I have come to understand through my spiritual practice and spiritual studies is that the world is hierarchical. You know, liberally minded people believe very much in equality. And, you know, in principle, the idea of equality, equal opportunity, and all of this is very humanitarian. But you see, there are some people who are inherently more intelligent than others, who are able to grasp things more easily than others. And it seems to be pyramidal, that there's a large number of people who are relatively ordinary compared with a very small number of people who can grasp these things. But if you find yourself as someone with privilege and extra capacity, you can never allow yourself to be arrogant about it. If you fall into the trap of arrogance and you kind of dispense with keeping God over the top of you, then you abuse your privilege, you abuse your power, and this is where the inequality among people becomes harmful, because those with privilege abuse it, those with extra wealth do not share it, you see. So I have come to understand that the world is very unequal, very varied, but that the more your privilege is, the more generous you need to be, the more you must love, the more you must care for those who do not have. And in that way, you're not trying to create a world where everything is, you know, the same height, you know, and like that, because they're so boring. You need the huge variation of people, and someone's good in one thing and someone's good in something else and so on. So it has to be harmonious. And I think when you don't have the abuse of privilege, when you don't have the arrogance, then the machinery of the variety within humanity becomes complementary, instead of, you know, the mutually assured destructiveness that we have at the moment.
Mm. Sure, that's quite loaded, Sister Denise. It creates such a wave. Your words. Tell me, in order to get to this spot or strata of structured intelligence, what would be one's motivation to get there? And my question comes from this perspective. We don't know that we don't know that there is a spiritual law governing the universe. Does one come there by accident? Are you called? Do you wait for a knock on the head? Do you wait for a burning log to attack you? How does one get there? Because we're so steeped in, shall I say, structured ignorance, that we're satisfied, and it doesn't even enter our awareness that there is an alternative way of being.
Well, I think that there are enough people who are perplexed and puzzled by human suffering, by inequalities, by tyranny, by so many things that go against the grain of their higher feelings, that they, and I think I'm one of them, really are striving to understand. You want to understand God, you want to understand why things are the way they are, you want to understand what is the way of the universe. And you will just not stop until you get satisfied. And as usual, what happens, every answer you get opens up more questions. And so then it's a lifetime of pursuing greater understanding and subtleties. And so this is an inner motivation that pushes you further and further. But not everybody is motivated by that. Other people are motivated by other things.
Mr. Denise, what is your definition of being spiritually successful? How do you know you have arrived?
I think that you aren't really necessarily expecting to arrive, because then there is the then what. So I think that you're looking for balance, you're looking for depth, you're looking for something very elusive called perfection, in which many, many things internally and externally are balanced. You're looking to realize your potential. You're looking to be an instrument of God. You're looking to be close to God. You're looking to be close to other people who are close to God. You're looking to benefit people, benefit nature. You're looking to make sure that you use your time, your talents, your capacities for benefit. And I think it's a continuous striving to get it better and better until the end of your life. And then at the end of your life, well, that's as far as you got. And then you commend yourself to God. And then what happens, happens.
Okay. You see, academic intelligence, there's a prize. Okay, if you reach a certain level, there are accolades, there's acknowledgement, there's validation, there's a few alphabets after your name, there's a job title, there's a salary. Okay, how are you rewarded for your spiritual achievements? What is their reward? What's in it for you? The reason I'm asking this question is because one doesn't become spiritually intelligent for intelligence sake. There's something that you get out of it. What do you get out of it?
I think that to understand something that you didn't understand before gives an extraordinary form of happiness, which is well worth having. I think that we also know that everything that is done in terms of for benefit produces a reward which is deferred. So it's a kind of an investment. You're investing in your soul. You're investing in your indefinite future. You feel like completely balanced inside. You have a clean, clear conscience. You enjoy blessings and love from many, many people. You float, you know, through difficulties. I don't know, there is a very, very good feeling inside of generalized happiness that doesn't seem to have anything to do with anything, which is very worth having.
Okay, that's an interesting answer. Sister Denise, I'm going to give you a practical example. I'd like to see you respond to this. If my best friend is lying on her deathbed as a result of ovarian cancer, and I understand it's her karmic debt that she is bearing. The fact that I understand that it's her karma to pass in this way, does it lessen my pain? Because one thing is to watch somebody that you love go through something hard, and another thing is to understand why it is that they're going through that. It doesn't make the pain any less. If a parent loses a child, which I think is one of the worst things that any human being can go through. And knowing that your account with that child was meant just to last for 3 months or 3 years, and then the child is meant to pass on, that doesn't lessen one's pain. Your understanding doesn't mitigate the pain. It still hurts. So where does spirituality come in there? Where does your intelligence help you? How does your intelligence help you in that situation, whether you're attached to the person or not?
I've been in these situations a number of times. Mm-hmm. I know what I know in terms of the laws of spirituality and so on, and the person who is passing through the difficulties also knows. And I mean, there's a lot of time involved. You may be sitting with the person for many days, meditating, creating atmosphere, talking with the person. You may be facilitating that person's passage through pain, passage to move on. You know, you're not dealing with the unknown, you're dealing with the known, and that changes things very much. When you know that a person is leaving their body and going on, that's very different from when you think the person is dying and that's it, and you're looking at the physical body. Do you see what I mean? So it really does change things for you. It means that you're in a much better position to offer the company, the solace, the atmosphere, the spiritual power. And you know, sometimes when a person is about to leave their body, you know, you can be with them and say, yeah, it's okay, you can go, it's all right, he's waiting for you, you know, can do. That is a very nice thing to do. That's a very helpful thing to do. And in very high levels of spiritual achievement, you can actually even, you know, follow the soul and see where they are and how they are after death, because you have spiritual sensitivity to that. And so you're really aware of the soul who continues, and the body is no longer able to be used by that soul, and that soul then needs to have another one. And you see, you form your next body by your karma. And so, you know, when somebody's looking at it from that angle, it's a very different thing. I remember there was one situation where my sister-in-law had a very rapid onset multiple sclerosis. And many of my family members are medical doctors. And they came to her funeral and they said, you know, we have, in our profession, when somebody dies, it means we failed. We have never seen anyone work with death in such a beautiful way as you all have, you know. And there were just two or three people in the extended family who were aware about spirituality, spiritual practice, but that was enough to really change the whole tone of the occurrence. And and my brother, whose wife was ill, actually called me and said, I need you now, though he wasn't at all involved in this spiritual practice, but he said, no, I need you now. So I left everything and went to be with him for him and for her last days, and it was good. It was very good. It was very useful.
That's a lovely story. Thank you for sharing that. Sister Denise, last question. God, how does he feature into the creation of structured spiritual intelligence?
Well, God is the most intelligent being there is, and also not a human, and also the parent of all human souls. And the one thing that God sees in humanity is they don't understand. And because of not understanding, they're creating such a mess for themselves. And so God is very much motivated to communicate with people as a teacher, to say, you know, you need to understand what you are and who you are. You need to understand the laws of spirituality, because then the experience you have on the earth becomes a very beautiful one. But when you don't understand and you mess up, it's a very horrible experience. So the love of God is to give that wisdom to humanity.
Love of God is to give wisdom to humanity. Okay, on that beautiful note, we bring today's talk to an end. Thank you so much for sharing your insight into what has been a fascinating half an hour. For those of you at home who have never heard of structured intelligence, well, there you have it. It has been revealed. It's a fresh and insightful way of looking at oneself, at reality, and one's relationship with the divine. Sister Denise has shared that spiritual understanding is not just within the purview of few people, but is available to all, provided that you are interested in getting there. It's not something that you can delegate. So whether you're young or consider yourself to be old, there is the divine who is waiting to connect with you on a very personal level. Thank you so much for joining us, and we do hope to see you soon. Thank you and goodbye.